Well, we were in Romans 8, and we did Romans 8, 1 and 2, the first of the year. And then we did Romans 2, Romans 8, 3 through 11 last week. And so we're going to pick it up in verse 12. And I think we read 12 and 13 last week, but we're going to just pick up there because it's a transition between the thought of the preceding verses and setting up what comes after that. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh to live according to the flesh. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. And that was what we talked about, the contrast between the law of sin and death and the law of life in Christ, that new covenant that we live in. And that we have to walk in that. And we meditated on that and talked about it. And so it tells us in verse 14, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. I think we even read that last week. The sons of God, the children of God, that when you're led by the Spirit, you're a child of God. And you can just kind of reverse that and say children of God are what? Led by the Spirit. So if you're led by the Spirit, you know you're a son of God. But sometimes we need to just kind of break that down and look at it the other way and say, the sons of God, or in other words, the children of God, that's just old English, the way that that it would be written. The children of God are led by the Spirit. You see how they're connected? And so when you look at it that way, it really is important. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption, whom we cry out, Abba, Father. And we didn't read that. And so there's the power that we are adopted into the family of God. And that's the victory that we have over the world, that we're the children of God. We're new creations in Christ Jesus. We're King's kids. And in that, where everything's become new within us, nothing became new on the outside, did it? You know, sometimes we wish it would have. You know, but we look the same. Other than sometimes we see somebody that gives their life to Jesus, and you can just see, especially somebody who's lived in sin, and then they've changed so dramatically, you know, you can almost see the glow on their face, the as the weight of sin is lifted off of them, and it's almost like a radiance. But physically, the characteristics, if they had graying hair, it's still graying. If they, you know, if they had, you know, like me, a tattoo from, you know, the long ago past, it's still there. You wish things would just be different, be gone. You know, I'm glad I didn't get the tattoo that I was thinking about. Not that it was horrible, but I just, you know, glad I didn't get that one. But you wish it would just be gone. You know, it's like, well, you know, I don't think my glorified body's going to have that. My glorified body's not going to be wearing glasses. It's not going to have graying hair and all that kind of stuff. The outward man, it didn't change. The outward man, the scripture tells us, is perishing. And so that comes with age, happens. You know, and we can live in faith and believe God and live out years and believe God for strength in that journey, right up until the time we go home to be with the Lord. But the outward man is perishing. But the inward man, that's what's changed, and it's because we're adopted into his family. So everything becomes new, and we get to cry out, Father. You know, Abba, Father is like the affectionate term for Father. And so it's like saying Daddy God. You know, Abba, Father, Daddy, Father. You know, it's Abba is Daddy. It's Papa. It's the affectionate term for the Lord. And we can cry out with that from within us, that spirit of the Lord. So it's like if you read it in the original, it'd be like Father, Father, and yet it's a different. It's Abba. It's an Aramaic version of it. Papa, Father, Daddy, God, or Father, Father. So he's our reverential Father that we worship, respect, and reverence and awe, but he's also Daddy. And you know what? Do you watch over your kids? Do you do what you can to provide for them, to take care of them? You know, do you sacrifice for them? Well, he lives that out even more than any of us ever do. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. We can know that we know that we're the children of God. And it reminds me of 1 John, where it says that that these things have been written unto you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may believe in the name of the Son of God. And it's a weird thing. And it says that you can know that you have eternal life. So these things are written to you that believe in the name of the Son of God, that you know that you have eternal life, and that I didn't quote it, that I didn't put the middle in there, and that you can believe in the name of the Son of God. It starts with believing, it ends with believing, but in living a life where you start and you finish, it's, in other words, you're walking faith in the Son of God, not accepting him in Sunday school, one prayer of acceptance of the Lord, and then just live your life out and expect, you know, to get salvation. It's you believe in the name of the Son of God, you know that you have eternal life, and that you can believe in the name of the Son of God. In knowing that, in bearing witness, you walk it out. You walk by faith. You live it out. You start in faith, you end in faith, and you'll enter into God's glory. And you can, in that, know that you have eternal life. So we don't, as children of God who cry out, Abba, Father, we don't wonder. And when you have people say, well, I hope I'm going to go to heaven. You know, I think I'm going to go to heaven. That's because they don't have the Spirit of God dwelling in them. Because the Spirit will bear witness with your spirit that you're a child of God. And Father, he turns from the image that I had. He turned from an image of a wrathful, angry God wanting to zap me, to get me, into Daddy, you know, Papa, my Heavenly Father. There was a difference, a change. And I saw that, you know, from the time I became a believer, the Father revealed himself in me. There was a witness in my spirit that I was his child. And as his child, you know, he's watching over me to take care of me. I know there's some awful parents in this fallen, broken world, but the norm, the general truth is that parents love their kids and would do anything for their kids. Parents want better for their children than they have. You know, and that's where we see this in the spirit realm as well. And so the Spirit will bear witness with our spirit, because he dwells in us, that we're children of God. And then verse 17, this is where it gets exciting, the promise. And if children, then heirs. Heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. If indeed we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together. And we're going to move into suffering next. The revelation of the suffering saints, of Christians and experiencing tests and trials in this world. But the good news is that as children of God, we're heirs. We're joint heirs with Christ. If we suffer with him, Jesus endured persecution all through his ministry. He suffered. They tried to kill him on more than one occasion. He had the rejection of the religious leaders, you know, who should have embraced him, you know, should have seen who he was. And they rejected him, and that had to be hard. He had the rejection of his siblings. And so he suffered. In a sense, he suffered in what he didn't have. You know, he was connected to the Father, but not in the way that he had been connected before. And that was difference. That was a big difference for him. And we are going to have tests, we're going to have trials, we're going to have some suffering. And so in our journey, if we're living for him, we're going to also suffer persecution. And if we're seeking to live a life where we don't, and this is the attitude people have, I don't want to attract the persecution. I don't want to rock the boat. I don't want to make waves. I'm not going to really, you know, I'm not going to just be that outward Christian. Well, if you're not that, then you're not manifesting the Spirit of Christ, because he was outward. People knew who he was, who he believed in. They knew what his message was. Do they know that about us? Because the Bible tells us that we're to be like Him. The Bible tells us that as a believer that's walking in by faith, walking in the Lord, that He's molding us, you know, like a potter does clay. Anybody ever go to Silver Dollar City and watch the pottery guy? You know, or maybe you see it on TV and they have to work that. They knead it or whatever they call it, and they get it to where it's soft and pliable. They have to keep pouring water on it to, you know, keep it, you know, moldable and pliable. That's what that picture, that's what God's doing us. He's pouring the Word on us. You know, he's sometimes having to pound us to knead us, you know, and it pulls it apart and, you know, just rubs it together and until we get soft and pliable. And then as that happens, as we're yielding to Him and we're becoming pliable in our yielding to Him, then He's able to start fashioning us into whatever vessel that He wants to make us. But we're all being made in His image. And how we live that out is going to be unique to our own life and everything else, but we're all a reflection of Jesus. And if we're living out there trying to avoid people being able to see us, then we're not living by the Spirit of Christ. We're not manifesting that. And you know, yes, it will invite some persecution. It will invite mocking. For people who don't love the Lord, it will invite rebuke and you know, and even resentment. But that's the suffering that Christ experienced, and we're to experience it with Him. If we're the children of God, that's the context of this, you know, then we're heirs and we're joint heirs. So everything that He has is made available to us. Everything that He has is made available to us. But it comes by being connected to Him, you know, and living for Him, in relationship with Him. And that will invite the suffering. So what do you want? Do you want and what's the greatest reward? We get to go as a joint heir to be with the Father just like He did. We get to go to as a joint heir to have all of heaven. Everything that He has, when you understand covenant, we're not talking about covenant tonight, so I'm not going to spend a lot on that, but covenant, everything that I have, all that I am, all that I'm not, is yours. You know, all that I have is yours. You don't have to ask, it's yours. And so as a joint heir with Christ, everything that Jesus has, it's ours. And ultimately, that's to be with the Father in eternity, you know, where He is. And isn't that worth the suffering of this time? And that's why Paul, he always was looking at that. He always reminded himself that he was a joint heir and that this suffering is just for a time. I don't care how long we live on this earth. It is such a brief, brief period of time. It's nothing. I mean, we look at the history of the United States of America. Long history. There's a lot that's happened in our country. Now, there are people trying to remove history and rewrite history and all. But we all know, you know, this started back in the 1400s. And then, you know, we started to colonize and grow. You know, as we went into the 1600s, and then by the 1700s, we had 13 colonies that were well established enough to be able to make a decision to become independent of the Kingdom of England and the domination of the King of England, and broke away from that, and declared ourselves an independent nation, fought a revolutionary war over that, the War of Independence, and then, you know, began to expand in this country and grow, and some conflict with the Native Americans and the Spanish American War that we fought, and then, you know, we get into the Civil War, and, you know, we think about the Vietnam War, the Korean War, and then our modern wars, you know, that we've lived in. Those are moments in history that we think about, but there's been a long history. And there's been years in between all of that. And you think about that, hundreds of years. And when we just look around at what we have, you know, I don't know if I saw a headline that China was supposed to have a orbiter that went and, not an orbiter, but a spacecraft that landed on the far side of the moon. And there was a thing today that said that they had cotton sprout, that they had planted some different seeds, but the cotton, they said, sprouted. So the first life on the moon, and its experiments that they're doing. You think, you know, we're on the moon. Mankind is on the moon. You know, I like science fiction. I enjoy watching science fiction and seeing spacecraft. You know, if Jesus doesn't come for a while, we really could be living in you know, just like, and you think, that's just so stupid. That's so crazy. But you know, before Orville and Wilbur Wright flew the Kitty Hawk, nobody thought man could fly either, let alone get on planes that fly over the ocean. They flew over a field, you know, and that was like, oh, it's just, it just went all over the place. And but it was insane to think about that. People said, that is absolutely crazy talk. And here we are on the moon. We have craft that we've landed on Mars, and they're talking about, there's a race for who's going to be the first person to send someone to Mars. There's such a long history. So the suffering that we have in this life, folks, please, please, just look back and think of the history. That's just the United States we kind of reflect on. Just keep going back. All of human history. And even that is a blip. It's nothing compared to eternity. When I say our life, if we live 80, 90, 100 years, you know, that's, you know, say you live 100 years. Well, look at, you know, we've got from, you know, was it 1492, Columbus sailed the ocean blue and came over here. And then, you know, you had, you know, it continued to grow from there. So you figure, let's just say 1500, where we really started doing it. So 1600, 1700, 1800, 1900, and now 2000. So that's only 20% of the history. You live 100 years, you think, that's a long time. And people who've lived 100 years have seen so much. They saw, you know, man, you know, landing on the moon. Well, the Apollo missions before we ever got to the moon. You know, all of this stuff. I think in our lifetime, you know, we look back and I you know, even little simple things. You know, Linda made coffee tonight in an automatic coffee maker. We used to, you know, make coffee very much differently. It took longer, and you know, and we have, you know, just technology. Some people heated their coffee in the microwave. It's a blip. It's nothing. And 100 years is a long time, but it's not that much compared to our nation's history, and especially human history. And even that, it's nothing when you think about eternity past and eternity future. I just feel so strongly to encourage you to not pull back from the Lord and from His witness. We need to have that more than ever, to have that connection, to walk in the Spirit, to live by faith in this world, where it's going to present challenges. So let's look at suffering. We're going to suffer, but the suffering that we'll have is nothing compared to eternity, and we will be glorified together with Him. And so it makes it worth it. You know, and our suffering, folks, come on. There are people who are in prison. There are people who are being executed. There are people who are being tortured for their faith in Jesus Christ. Our persecution, our suffering is nothing when we even look around the world today. But so that just to give us some perspective and context as we're reading. Verse 18, for I consider that the suffering of this present time are not worthy to be compared to the glory which shall be revealed in us. And so I said all that to set us up for that. And I would encourage you, if you have not read in a long time, or maybe you've never read Fox's Book of Martyrs. Has anybody read Fox's Book of Martyrs? How many of you have heard of Fox's Book of Martyrs? A lot of people, you know, will hear of some of these old books and not read them. That's a book that's worth reading. I don't know how many times I've read it over the years. And if you ever are in a place where you think, oh, I'm just suffering for Jesus, you know, I'm suffering for the Lord. Our suffering, again, when you just look around the world at what some believers go through to be a believer, you know, I mean, I just got a prayer request for AFC. I can't reveal personal details and stuff of people's names and things, but just had a prayer request for someone who is in another nation, not this nation, but seeking amnesty, asylum, because of the persecution, and their wife is pregnant. And so it's like, pray that, you know, and especially for my wife, that, you know, it'll go well with us and that we can receive that. Because once you're found out to be a Christian in some places that we do ministry in AFCM, it's a death sentence, or at minimum, it's a prison sentence. And it's not prison like our prisons, where, you know, and I'm not saying our prisons are a piece of cake or anything, but come on. You know, I mean, you know, you watch TV, you lift weights, you go to college, you do, you know, all different things. And again, I'm not saying it's a piece of cake. Don't go to prison. It's not fun. But it's not even, how many of you ever seen that movie years ago, Cool Hand Luke? That's the way prison was. You know, it was chain gangs. It was hard labor. You know, it was not pleasant. With the reforms, prison reforms, or what was that other old movie, Brubaker? And it was about going in and kind of reforming. That's kind of the course. And they're currently doing some reform in prisons. Not in prisons, but in, you know, they're going to try to do some of that. But in sentencing and things like that, you know. And they've tried to make it better, you know, for the people who are incarcerated. But it's nothing compared to being in prison in Kenya, you know, where Jim has went. I haven't got to go over there yet. One of these years I'll go and preach our graduation, you know, for our college students. And you know, and usually what pastors of us in AFCM that can go, we'll do more than one prison while we're there, you know, just so that we can take care, you know, for other churches that have pastors that aren't there like ours. And so Bill's preached in ours before. Rod's been over there and preached in ours, you know, for the graduation service. I'd love to do that sometime, but I can't say I've witnessed it firsthand, but I've heard secondhand directly of how unpleasant it is. You know, it's not a room with a toilet in it, stainless steel. You know, we think of, oh, man, that's just a little, what are they, 6x8 cell or whatever, and, you know, and the toilet's right there. And it's like, oh, man, I would hate to be in that and, you know, and have to be that. That's luxury. It has a cot. Maybe it's a bunk bed. Maybe it's two people. Maybe it's one. And that's considered luxury compared to what they're living in, sleeping on a concrete floor and might have a little blanket, a little mat to sleep on. You know, it's different. And even that, the ones that are in prisons, in places where there's a persecution of Christians, it's not only harsh, but it's even torture. And I can't remember the old, you know, they made a movie out of this story too. There's a lady in China that was imprisoned and the torture and the suffering she had. I can't remember the name of it. I'm going blank. I can see it, but I can't think of the name. But it's a powerful movie. And that's like reading the Fox's Book of Martyrs. It's that dramatic account where people who really have, you read this and we may think, and it applies to us. Whatever state you're in, if you're having persecution, it is difficult. It's a challenge. It's not pleasant to be rebuked and persecuted, made fun of. It's not pleasant to have people do things, you know, to hinder you, and you see, you know, others, you know, getting, you know, worldly favor over yourself, and we all want to get along and, you know, and do that, and to be rejected, you know. It's funny, you know, a Christian will not want to go to the bar, but then they feel bad when they don't get invited anymore, you know. It's like, I don't go. They will quit inviting you. That's a blessing. For me, that was a blessing when they quit trying to get me to go. But some people will be thinking, well, now I'm not, you know, and they'll even think, I regret it, or, and it's like, no, it's a challenge. But if you'll read that and you see what people, I mean, some of the stories just flash through my mind of different accounts of different ones, and I've mentioned them over the years. I haven't mentioned any of the stories for a long time, but it's suffering like nothing that we're experiencing in this world. And we need to build up our faith and know that I'm going to live for the glory of God no matter what. Because this scripture gives those people, that lady in China cry, the ability to cry out to God and have him take them through. It gave the people in Fox's Book of Martyrs the ability to be faithful unto death, and I mean torturous death, and to just cry out to God. The very first martyr of the church, Stephen. You know, stoning is not pleasant. It's horrible. You know, I mean, have you ever been hit with a rock? You have big brother, little brother throw a rock at you, or bully in the neighborhood, or mow the lawn. Have one, you know, I've had rocks hit me mowing the lawn, and it's like, oh, I have one bust my head wide open, just blood running down, big giant goose egg, you know, and you know, it's wild. I was on my riding mower in the backyard, Glennon, and a rock flew out, hit the back tree or the house. I don't know what it bounced off. It bounced off something because it didn't like do a loop in the air, but it come off, and it was like, you know, it, thank God it wasn't terminal velocity, but it was like, I mean, and it, bam, and I was like, whoa, and just blood just run down. It split me open. I had a gigantic welt, just wild, and it hurt, and, you know, but that's nothing compared to having, you know, big, you know, not a rock, but a stone, and have them thrown at you, and, I mean, it would, until you became unconscious, you're feeling your bones being broken and every blow happening. And they would, you know, and they would do that. And people can be sadistic and purposely try to draw that out and not hit you in the head and let you suffer. It's not like they were way far away and just, okay, I'll just throw it toward them. And they were right over them. And that was not pleasant. And Stephen, in the middle of that, they were able to look and see heaven and look out and say, Lord, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. You know, that's the ability when you're connected to God that we can endure more than we can think. But it's so important because of the times we're living in. I'm saying this because in these latter days, and we're believing for a great revival and everything else, but Jesus had revival. He had an anointing and a move of God like the world had never seen. And yet, multiple times they tried to kill him. They resisted him all the way. The Apostle Paul, supernatural ministry. And yet he had Judaizers following him, going from place to place, you know, to hinder his ministry. When I go in the bathroom, I thought, Toby, I went to get Chris from school, and Lisa's like, you're going to go to the church? And I had Toby with me. You know, he liked to go for a ride. And Lisa's like, you're going to go to the church from there? I'm like, oh, I didn't even think about what time it is. And I knew what time it was. I was getting Chris. And I'm like, yeah, bring me some shoes and you know, my iPad. And so Toby's in there. I thought, well, he was destroying my office or something. Because he doesn't have a bed or anything in there, so he's probably, hey, you want me to let him out? You guys want to let him play with him? I'm just teasing. That'd be suffering. He'll kiss you to death. He is an excited little guy. The suffering of this present time, no matter how great it is, it's not worthy to be compared to the glory that'll be revealed in us. For the earnest, verse 19, the earnest expectation of the creation eagerly waits for the revealing of the sons of God. For the creation was subjected to futility, not willingly, but because of him who subjected it in hope. because the creation itself also will be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. The day's coming. This entire creation is going to be remade, refashioned, a new heaven, a new earth, like the glory of the Lord. For we know that the whole creation groans and labors with birth pains together until now. That's the earthquakes and the signs that you see in the skies and the stuff that's going on. It's the earth in birth pangs, ready, you know, to see this which is going to come. Not only that, but we also have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves grown within ourselves, eagerly awaiting for the adoption, the redemption of our body. You know, we're children of God, and we're new on the inside, but there's something in us that's eagerly awaiting that redemption of our body. You know, thank God our spirit's redeemed. We're children of God. But our mortal body that is perishing is going to be redeemed as well, and we're going to receive a glorified body. And all things will be new in that as well. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Who has an ache and a pain? You know, sometimes it's just from doing some physical work. Sometimes it's getting a little bit older and just feeling like, oh, I don't get up as quick as I used to, or this, you know, and I get more tired than I used to. And we all live that. But this body's going to be delivered. So it yearns and longs for that. And that day is going to be coming. We're going to have our body renewed. And then verse 24 says, for we are saved in this hope. But hope that is seen is not hope. For why does one still hope what he sees? So we must be encouraged that even though we don't see heaven, we don't see Jesus, we don't see the glory of God, we don't have any idea how glorious heaven is. Graham was sharing, I hope it's okay to say this, it wasn't a negative, but Graham was sharing, you know, because we all know this experience of we think about our parent, our child, our sibling or a friend that's passed away, and we'll feel a sadness. And he says, you know, when he's had times where he's felt sad, he was telling me before church, thinking about his mom who just moved to heaven not long ago, just a few months ago, about what, four, 3 months ago? Yeah, November. And we know that freshness of that. He said, it's like I could just, I don't know if he said I hear it or I just sent, but it was like his mom saying, it's okay. I'm all right. And he just sensed that assurance that she was okay, and it would lift. And you know, and I know that feeling, you know, and I know where I would be without having that with my own. I've had one parent pass away too, and just knowing that my dad's in heaven, when I'm missing him, I think about that, and it brings me comfort, you know, that he wouldn't trade it for the world. But you know what? We do not even have, we have a glimpse through the Word of God, but we have no way of knowing. I'll never forget, we've talked about John Caseman, who had that after-death, you know, that life, after-death experience, or I don't know what they call that. But he was clinically dead on that table for a while, and he went to heaven, and he come back, and he told us things. He's in heaven now. He told us things, and yet he would say, I cannot put into words. You know, he's like, how did he say it? You could, like, almost taste colors or feel the colors. You know, this world and you know, nature and the sunsets and just seeing flowers and this creation, it's so beautiful. But he was like, he said, there's just no way to describe it. You know, the colors are more, you know, colorful and just, you know, he struggled to describe it. There's just no way. And that's the hope that we cannot see that we're going to have. And we have to hang on to that hope. Because if you don't, and you just, you get the tests and the trials of this world, you'll throw up your hands and you'll quit. You'll become weary in well-doing. If you're not staying connected, you're not walking in the Spirit. And what you are doing for the Lord, you're doing it out of works. You're doing it out of, an obligation. But it's not out of, just the outgrowth of the relationship. And you can get weary in that. All of us can get in that experience. So we hope in what's to come and say, you know what? It's okay. And you know, when you get that perspective and you think about that, you think about what it is, then you know, whatever you think, it's like, who cares? What is that? And let me put it this way. How many of you ever felt like it was almost a suffering when the Lord asked you to give something up that you really enjoyed? Anybody ever have that? You know, and at first it was like a real challenge. That's honest. I've been there. You know, I've had, a television show that I enjoyed years ago, and just one day, and I really enjoyed it. And I know the testimony of the actor in that show is a Christian. And so you talk about, where the mind will try to rationalize, hey, come on, I got to support the believer by watching this TV show. No, that was my flesh wanting to watch the TV show because I enjoyed watching the particular TV show. But just one day, there was just one scene, one moment, and just a check in my spirit, a quenching of the Holy Spirit happened, and it was just like I was done. And, you know, to this day, because you'll see that it's got released, everything's on, not everything, but so many things get released in reruns, or you can, if you have like Netflix and stuff like, we don't have cable or satellite, but we have like internet where you can get Netflix and watch old series and stuff. And I don't know that one's available on there. I never looked, but if you see the reruns, on or something like that, you might think, oh, well, maybe now I can do that. And it's like, no. I haven't seen that particular one, but other times I've been that. I'm mixing a couple, different experience, but it was like, the Lord just says no. And there's at first, it was like, okay, no way. And it's like, I'm done. But then over a period of time, the next season comes. That's when this actor, I found out his testimony. He'd given his life to the Lord. I mean, truly and deeply. And I don't know, maybe that changed the way, I don't know that it did. I have no idea because I never turned it on again. I've never seen another episode. But I remember, it's like, I like that. And whatever happened, how did it end? Anybody ever watch a series through, and you long for the, you look forward to, and you hope they conclude the series well? I was over, in the military, serving overseas in Korea when MASH ended, I oddly enough. And people in the military all over the world, I think I was in Korea, I can't remember. But anyway, I was in the military. And there were people who got to set TVs up in tents, in different places in the world. I'm pretty sure I was in Korea, it seems like. And then there were some people that were out, and they had arrangements to watch a finale. And it was awful. I don't even remember how it ended, but it was awful. And I wasn't one that really watched that TV series. But I watched the end of it. Everybody wanted to. And I was like, that's stupid. And if you were a loyal fan, maybe you saw the series, you'd be let down. We get to long for something that's going to be awesome and be an end. But it might be in this life that we're giving something up for the Lord, and we consider that a suffering. Again, it doesn't compare to some of the suffering that people experience in this life. But to give up and deny yourself in your walk with the Lord, it's so worth it. And as you walk through, how many of you who've experienced that and felt that, after time, it doesn't always take a long time, I could care less how that ended. For a while, initially, I wondered, and it's like, ugh, and then, this season, is it okay? Now he's a Christian, is it okay? Your thought will try to come to you. I never felt a peace to turn it back on, and maybe if I really sought the Lord, he would allow me to, but it's like, yeah, he told me to give it up, I'm just not going to do it. and I don't miss it. And it can be that in life. And I'm going to tell you something. It can be that for things a whole lot bigger than a TV show. It can be, you know, God has a plan for our life. And he used me when I went to Korea. But you know how the emotional pain it was to have a wife that really, some people consider newlyweds for a month or 6 months or something. I think, for that first year or two, you're kind of newlyweds. And we got married 4 months later. Lisa was pregnant with Michelle. We had Michelle at 10 months after we were married. And then 4 months after that, I'm in Korea. My first Father's Day, I'm not a father. I'm going to tell you something. One of the most painful things in my life I'll never forget is getting on that plane, on that tram that was going to go lower down, roll out to the plane, go up and load us on the plane. That was the way it was back in those days at Lambert. And to go down and see them just disappear with my baby being held. And that was painful. And after 7 months, we sold our car, got all the money we could, and I flew her over there, and she spent 3 months over there and then went home a month before me. And so I had a little relief, but it was hard. But God had a plan. I fought it. I tried not to go to Korea because I had a contract to go to Europe, and yet God had a plan. And when you see how he ordered my steps and things that happened there, a missions church and everything else, but things that happened even in my work as a soldier and stuff that I did that I'd say, man, that why did I have to do that? That very experience prepared me for when I went to the next unit in Savannah, Georgia, and won a medal for it. Because I was able to do something that saved my company from, and my company commander's career from, failing the RTEP. And it was because I was in Korea and because I was pulled out of my MOS and did this other skill that he had been ordering my steps to prepare. So there was in the natural an ordering of the steps and things that God was doing, but there was also spiritual things that was going on. The Bible study that turned into a church was able to impact people's lives and help some people. And I look at orphans. My first Father's Day, I wasn't with my daughter, but those orphans didn't have a father every day. And so I spent that Father's Day with orphans. And a captain friend of mine and I brought them on post, took them bowling, did a barbecue for them, and just loved on them. And those little kiddos just had such a blast. But I was going to the orphanage, in the weekends and when I could. Didn't have my daughter, but I just thought those kids don't have dad, and so Greg and I would go and do that. Sometimes God will use us, and there's a suffering. Now the scripture says, Jesus, know that he who gives up father and mother, husband or wife, in this present day will have such reward. And, for a period of time, I had to give up my wife and my daughter. Because, the army gave me orders, but I believe that God orders my steps. God has a plan for my life, and God orchestrated that. And I see the things that happened there that prepared for the future, I have no doubt. And so it's like, wow. I had a contract, and you look at it the other way, as I had a contract, I'm here, I'm trying to go to Europe so I could be with my family, but wow, Lord, you did something pretty wild, because they generally honor the contract and stuff like that. Don't be panicking, normally it's just whatever you sign up for, you do, but there were things that happened, and that happened in, as I said, Sunday, in my life as in the machine shop, getting machines, the most modern in the world, and you go and when you're in a union, it just doesn't happen that way. The most senior people with the most seniority in the union are the ones that would get machines like that. And here I was, a young whippersnapper, just a few years in, and I'm running the most modern machines in the world. And then learned all these others, and then from there became an engineer and programmer. God can do things, and it may feel like, you know, sometimes a suffering as his will is being performed in your life, but it doesn't compare. I'm trying to give you natural illustrations from simple things to some bigger things, because everybody, when, let me put it this way, you know, as a pastor, when somebody has surgery, they'll, I don't want to bother you with that. I don't want, you know, I don't even, I'm like, why didn't you tell me you were going to have this happen or this procedure done or this surgery? And they're like, ah, it's just small. There's no small surgery, you know, to the person who's going through it. It's a big deal. I've had major surgeries in my back that you know. I had what they could call a minor surgery when on my nose, and that was awful. It was most unpleasant, and I won't bother you with the gory details, but it was not pleasant in its time. It was its own thing, and I've always thought like that, you know. Somebody that's going to facing something, it may not be, oh, you're going through this, you're having your appendix taken out, or you're having a cancer removed, or, you know, some major thing. You know, it's serious to whoever's going through it. No matter how big or how small something is, that suffering can cause you to become weary and want to throw up your hands. And that's the message the Lord put on my heart tonight. I think you can tell I'm kind of trying to reemphasize that over and over. Yes, you will experience challenges in this life. Not everything going the way you want it to go. God asking of you to do things that you, your flesh doesn't want to do. Your spirit wants to serve God. That's why when I went to Korea, you know, I'm still going to bloom where I'm planted. You know, so I started a Bible study. I started going to the orphanage. I was doing things. I was witnessing to people. I was praising and worshiping the Lord, fellowshipping with believers, because hey, I'm his kid. And so, you know, while there was that, he was using me, and there was great joy coming in that. And I have to look back, and my wife and I will say, that year of Korea, which the bulk of it, you know, 3 months out of 12, we weren't together, and the 3 months she was over there wasn't easy. And yet it was one of the greatest years of our marriage because of our being faithful to serve God and what he did. And because of that, he enabled, selling the car doesn't get you round, you know, a ticket. You know, it was a one way. We didn't have enough for her. Got her to Korea, and then we had to figure out and get money to get her back. You know, I've been awful that the Army sent me home and she's still there. But by faith, Reverend Michelle, someday, woman, I'll be back. I'm going to get a job in the coal mine a few years from now. I'll come for you. just be faithful. Don't forget me. You know, God was with us, but he made that possible and made that hardship not so hard because he can do that, and he caused things to bloom in the desert. I don't know. I feel like I'm not communicating well tonight. Hopefully the Holy Spirit's getting past my weakness. Because the big idea, the big message God wanted me to give tonight is that no matter what you're going through, don't give up. Keep your hope in the salvation, what you can't see, and that'll motivate you to go on, to endure it, to deal with it, knowing that the reward that you have doesn't compare to anything you're missing out on this life. I don't miss anything this world had to offer that I've given up for the Lord. You know, my natural plans for life would have had me making a lot of money and everything, but I'd have been lost and hellbound, if not even dead by now. And the life I have in Christ is rich and abundant and blessed, and it may not be some of that other, but I don't miss that. And what I have in store makes that look like the most abject poverty you've ever seen. Think of it like that. So we're saved. Verse 24 still up there. We're saved in this hope, but hope that's not seen is not hope. For why does one hope for what we see? So remember, faith is in what we don't see. What we're hoping for is a blessed assurance, a knowing that it's real, but we can't see it. And that's what we look for. But if we hope for what we do not see, we eagerly wait for it with perseverance. Now, next week, we'll pick up at verse 26, where we see that the Holy Spirit will help us with this life and its challenges and our weaknesses and everything else. But what we hope we do not see, we eagerly wait for it, but we have to do it with perseverance. You just got to keep going. And you know, folks, I'm going to tell you something. Our culture is a culture of quick pleasure, and if it's not going our way, we quit. We quit jobs, you know, just without even thinking about it before, you know. And, you know, I know I'm looking at people who have worked in places for a long time. Everybody in here that work has been in your job places or retired from places that you work for years. But, you know, we've all known people I don't like it. I'm not happy. I'm going to quit. And not seeking the Lord. And next thing you know, they're struggling and everything else, that, you know, because they're not persevering. It's just like, in this culture, I gotta stop. But I mean, I had a teenager I hired at the company I managed in Ozark. I finally had to hire my wife because I kept hiring young people and they kept quitting because it was too hard. So my wife, I hire her, and she's doing the most physically uncomfortable job in the entire machine shop. I mean, I've done it, you know, it was polishing these things, but I mean, it just make your muscles sore, ache, and, you know, and give you calluses. I had kids that wouldn't make it a week, right? You know, college, high school graduates and all. I had one, he didn't even make it the day. He's like, I'm out of here. I don't need money. I'm gone. You know, just, I'm out of here. There's no way I'm going to do this. And just went after several of those, just hired Lisa because she has perseverance. And she did that until I hired at AFCM, and, you know, and then she got hired at AFCM after me. I didn't leave her there. Didn't leave her in Korea. Didn't leave her there. I hired AFCM and had her, you know, stop too. But she persevered until the end. There's a word to leave meditating on this week. Meditate on perseverance. When you feel like just quitting, throwing up your hands, whatever that is, just can't do it. Just think. Perseverance. When we persevere to the end, what a glorious reward we have. Amen. Thank you, Father, for this night. Thank you for blessing us. Let your word just be abundant inside of us. In Jesus' name, amen.